Go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you're listening to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. In this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 14 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
Now, you can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal.
We want to welcome listeners joining us for the first time today. In our broadcast, we look at the sacred scripture, excerpts from the Catechism, the lives of the saints, and the teaching of the church as we seek to challenge individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America.
Now today, we're continuing our series, Rebuilding a Missional Church, and Peter and I have shared what we believe is critical truth about the Lord's purposes for His people, that He has a heart to both rebuild and build His church here on the earth, and He's calling us now to join Him as we move from maintenance to mission in the church.
We've established that rebuilding a missional church begins not with necessarily events, programs, or guest speakers. Rather, it begins when individuals, including clergy, consecrated religious, and the laity, encounter Jesus Christ based on the patterns, first, that we see in our Blessed Mother and her fiat, St. Peter's confession at Caesarea Philippi, and St. Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus. Leslie, you and I have had a providential event happen in our lives that augments our desire to impart this burden to our listening audience. Why don't you start us off today by sharing that event?
Well, listeners, Peter and I have just returned from a wonderful pilgrimage to Greece and Turkey, where we followed in the footsteps of St. Paul on his second and third missionary journey. Now, our pilgrimage was coordinated and facilitated by Tecton Ministries out of Carmel, Indiana. And if you don't know this ministry, it's a wonderful ministry, isn't it, Peter?
Yes, it is, Leslie.
They have 25 years experience offering Catholic pilgrimages all over the world. Well, listen to this now. Do these cities in Greece and the events sound familiar to any of you? Athens, Philippi, Neapolis, Thessalonica, Berea, St. Lydia, the Philippian jailer, the noble-minded Bereans, and the unknown God of Mars Hill. Well, how about these places that are in Turkey? Pergamum, Sardis, Smyrna, the Isle of Patmos, the city of Ephesus, or Mary's house, the Book of Revelation, St. Polycarp, or the famous school of Tyrannus in Ephesus. Well, all of these places and more were on our itinerary as we followed in St. Paul's footsteps throughout Greece and Turkey, these wonderful historical and biblical territories.
Yes, I think a great place to start today is to share with our listeners how going on a pilgrimage can become a powerful life changer, Leslie. This is what the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches about pilgrimages. Pilgrimages evoke our earthly journey toward heaven and are traditionally very special occasions for renewal and prayer. For pilgrims seeking living water, shrines are special places for living the forms of Christian prayer. That's in paragraph 2691 in our catechism.
And I think that's a special focus of Tecton as well, is they really want, when you go on pilgrimage, they want you to encounter Christ.
Yeah, amen to that. Our attending priest was a Father Mike Revick from Atlanta, and he gave some great insights about going on pilgrimage to our group prior to our trip. And I'd like to share some of those insights that helped us have a mindset of a pilgrim versus a tourist. First of all, when you go on a pilgrimage, you're undertaking this ancient practice of pilgrimage, journeying to a specific geographic location for its unique place in Christian history to do penance, to ask for the intercession of the saints, and to offer thanksgiving to God for all of his benefits. Now, this is different from religious tourism even, and very different from a vacation. Secondly, a pilgrim's mentality frees us from all the many expectations and entitlements which normally burden us at the beginning of a vacation, right?
Right.
The pilgrim sees an inconvenience or disappointment as an opportunity to enrich their offering to God. More important, we're leaving footprints not in the sand, but our imprints are on our knees as we leave churches that we visit. And the fatigue that you often feel on a pilgrimage during a long day of journeying from one holy site to the next is a welcome oblation to God.
And we definitely felt that because we had some long days, didn't we?
Yes, we sure did. Thirdly, a pilgrimage is also a time to pray for specific intentions. Personally, we offered this pilgrimage to St. Paul for his intercessions to open afresh to Leslie and me what it means for us to be missional and that the Lord would lead us to the mission fields he has prepared for us. Then fourthly, while on pilgrimage, we also encountered many inconveniences, long bus rides, and changing hotels every day. Father Mike encouraged us during that time to make it a silent offering as Jesus we were entrusting to St. Paul for his intercessions. Remember, Leslie, one day when we went from Greece to Turkey, we're on a bus 13 hours that day.
Right, and the crossing over the border was at least a two-hour process.
Yes, that was a pretty long day. Now, lastly, when it comes to pilgrimage, we were encouraged to make our confession before leaving on pilgrimage so as to present ourselves in such a way and our efforts as a pure oblation to God, not marred by any sin working in our lives. The priest reminded us that what it does not profit a man if he gains the whole world, but if he loses his soul. And we wanted to squeeze every ounce of profit from this trip, didn't we, Leslie?
Right. So since we returned, we've been reflecting on how we did personally profit from our pilgrimage, and there's a few things that jump out in our minds. First of all, it helped us to go deep in Scripture. The Acts of the Apostles, the epistles St. Paul wrote to the believers in the different cities we visited, the cave of St. John, the Revelator, the skull of St. Titus, all this and more opened to us the sacred Scripture in a new and fresh way. I don't think we'll ever read Scripture the same.
No, I don't think so, Leslie.
Well, secondly, it was also a time of renewal and prayer. As Peter mentioned, we carried a book of prayer intentions with us. Not only did we seek Paul's intercession, but we sought the intercession of Mary at Mary's house, of St. John, both at the cave at Patmos and his grave in Ephesus. And then we sought the intercessions of St. Lydia at the river where she was the first convert to Christianity and was baptized.
Amen.
Okay, lastly, daily Mass allowed us another time to encounter Jesus Christ while we were on pilgrimage. That's a very special time every day when we gather together with the other pilgrims to celebrate the sacrifice of the Lord and really pray and think about our day. And then finally, as a catechism states, we understood in a deeper way that we're all pilgrims journeying to heaven as our true home.
Yeah, that's right, Leslie.
Okay, well, it's time for a short break now. And when we return, Peter and I are going to begin to discuss what we learned from the mission of St. Paul and how we must return to his mindset, drive, and sacrifice if we're indeed to rebuild a missional church. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
At Catholic Radio, we love to hear from you. Call us anytime. Just recently, we found this message on our voicemail.
I'm a non-Catholic that listens to your Catholic radio station, and I just wanted to thank you guys. I listen to Catholic Answers and Al Cresta sometimes, and I think her name's Teresa Tommy. I listen to her and another show or two. I appreciate it.
Call us at 317-870-8400 and let us know what you're thinking.
I just called to say, you know, I'm not a Catholic. I listen to your station.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today, we're continuing a series of broadcasts called Rebuilding a Missional Church. In our last segment, we discussed how the Lord orchestrated a wonderful pilgrimage for Peter and me. We followed in the footsteps of St. Paul and his team as they led the first century church into an age of mission. We realized in a fresh, new way that St. Paul and what he accomplished is not just a nice history lesson. Rather, what he modeled and what's embedded in the New Testament is a blueprint for us here in the Western Church if we're to become missional. Peter, let's begin by discussing what we first became aware of concerning St. Paul and his missional mindset.
Leslie, as we traveled with pilgrims, it seemed to me that a two-letter word began to ferment in our souls. And that is the willingness to go, capital G, capital O, to go on mission for the Lord and his kingdom. We begin with the words that the Lord spoke to Ananias when he baptized Paul. The Lord appeared to him and used that word also. He said to Ananias, "Go, for he, Paul, is an instrument whom I've chosen to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show you how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." And that's when Paul was initially commissioned, Leslie, by Ananias going to get ready to baptize him. About half of the New Testament, Acts of the Apostles, deals with the life and the works of St. Paul, right? During more than 20 years, he made three missionary journeys for sure, and some believe that he even had a fourth one, that he did indeed go visit Spain. We learned that Paul traveled over 10,000 miles, think about that for a minute, by ship and by foot, through much of the then known world, preaching about Jesus and founding Christian communities. He journeyed primarily through present-day Israel, Syria, and then Turkey and Greece, where we were visiting and being pilgrims. While making those distances was extremely tough, traveling by sea, obviously, was not very easy either at that time.
Right. He walked, didn't he, most of the time. And
yes.
Having been there, we saw how the terrain in some of the locations was very mountainous, and the distances between cities would have made for a very long and hard journey on foot through much of what we would consider wilderness. Yeah. And this reminds us that we are often called upon to be in situations where we're kind of in a wilderness, and there are uncomfortable situations that test our endurance and faith too.
Yeah, and it's amazing, Leslie. Remember, as we traveled through Greece and thinking about St. Paul traveling through Greece, 80% of Greece, a lot of people don't know this, is mountainous. And you look all around, all the time, every place, there's mountains in Greece. So in his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul describes these journeys that we're talking about today, revealing some of the things he suffered to bring the message of Jesus to others.
And these scriptures really came alive to us when we were there.
Yeah, and this would even be a great meditation for our devotional time with the Lord. But listen to this, what Paul says about his journeys. "With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless floggings, and often near death. 5 times I have received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I received a stoning. 3 I was shipwrecked. For a night and day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from the rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, hungry and thirsty, often without food, and finally, cold and naked." He ends up by saying here, Leslie, in this segment, "And besides other things, I'm under daily pressure because of my anxiety for all the churches." That's the St. Paul that we were following in his footsteps.
Yes, and as we followed in the footsteps of Paul, we actually went to several of these sites where St. Paul experienced what you just read from the scripture.
Right.
I mean, we saw the area where he would have been imprisoned and in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
And we saw the areas where he would have been stoned and flogged. So it was very interesting. We took in the surroundings and we meditated, of course, on these scriptures, and we were amazed at how St. Paul and his team were always on the go.
They were always willing to go. They were always on the go.
Yeah, they were willing to spend their lives serving Jesus and spreading his kingdom. But in order to do that, they had to go and not stay.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the sending and going of Catholic believers as missionary disciples and witnesses to our families, our neighbors, our children's sports and activities, to the highways and byways of all of our personal networks, it all begins with hearing that command and our willingness to go.
Amen.
Capital G, capital O.
Amen. So the story of St. Paul beginning his second missionary journey is in Acts at the end of chapter 15. His second missionary journey began by Paul wanting to go. In fact, the scripture says he wanted to go out and to see how the new converts were doing. And I really like that, that in that little phrase in the scripture, he wanted to see how they were doing. Paul cared. He had a caring. He wasn't just on mission for the sake of being on mission, but he cared for the people that God brought into Jesus and the kingdom. So at that time also, before the second missionary journey, remember, Paul and Barnabas had a serious disagreement. Paul did not want to take Barnabas's relative, John Mark, with them because John Mark had refused to keep on going. He stopped going with the team on that first missionary journey, and he returned to Antioch. And there was something about his unwillingness to keep going that Paul did not want on that second missionary journey. Now, we stood on the road that Paul stood on in Macedonia, the three cities where he spent preaching the gospel, that is Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. In fact, the text in Acts 17 does not directly mention this geographic element. However, as you study Paul's movements, his journey took him along what was the Via Ignatia, or the Ignatian Way. This extremely important Roman highway connected so many of the cities that Paul visited. It was a highway from Rome all the way to Byzantium.
Well, when we were visiting there, we noted through our tour guide that archaeologists in Greece and Turkey have uncovered many portions of the Ignatian Way, and there's usually, in one place in particular, there were signs to point it out. And it was so inspiring to be there, Peter, and stand on the road that Paul took. I mean, that was a highlight for me as well.
And I was amazed, too, when we went to the areas where they uncovered that highway. It was in really good shape. The Romans did a great job building that road. So as Paul began traveling on this highway, after crossing the Aegean Sea from Troas into Asia Minor, he reached Macedonia. Paul disembarked at Neapolis, which is a big seaport that we also visited, about 10 miles to the southeast of the city of Philippi. And this was the point at which Paul began traveling along that Via Ignatia. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 16. So why was the Via Ignatia so important, Leslie? I think, simply put, this important highway connected the Adriatic Sea, as we said, to the Aegean Sea, permitting overland travel. This was St. Paul's utility, so to speak, if you will, that offered him the chance to obey that call to go. And like Paul, I think there's a good way that we can translate this into our lives today. So, as like Paul, we need to find the Via Ignatias of our lives. That is, where are the roads in our lives where we're called to go and the Lord has prepared for us to go on mission?
Well, that's a great thought to end with in this segment, so please stay with us now as we take another short break, and when we return, we will continue with our series, Rebuilding a Missional Church, and look for opportunities to go.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood, in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. we are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You're listening to the radio program Go Rebuild My Church, and we are currently in a series of broadcasts called Rebuilding a Missional Church. And we're learning that the heart of God is to rebuild that which has fallen into ruin in our church and move us from maintenance to mission. In our last segment, we discussed that while on pilgrimage, we learned so much from St. Paul on what it means to be on mission. Our first takeaway was foundational to St. Paul's success was his commitment to go where the Lord sent him. We too, in order to replicate St. Paul's example here in the 21st century, must ask ourselves how we can begin to develop the desire to go as missionary disciples.
And with that, our willingness to go on mission begins with, I believe, developing that personal relationship with Jesus, who really ultimately obeyed the call to go when he came to our earth and became the incarnate Savior of the world and brought salvation to mankind. In fact, I think if we even stop here a minute, Leslie, and think, in a time when we're before the Lord and we're devoting ourselves to him to start a new day, here's a prayer that we could make. Lord, I want to go as your disciple to the place, people, circumstances, and situations that you've prepared for me. I think the Lord will hear that kind of prayer.
I believe so. I really do, with all my heart.
So along with this, Leslie, I was thinking, as we prepared for our broadcast today, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, St. Paul wrote about what happens when we do go and are willing to go. He says this, "For we are his workmanship." Think about that. It's interesting that that Greek word for workmanship is the word poema, from which we get the word poem. And a lot of people have translated that word to say that we are God's masterpiece. I like that. But anyways, it says, "We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now think about that just for a minute, Leslie. Here's an amazing reality. When the Lord created each one of us and then called us through our baptism and our personal yes, there awaits for each of us, as Catholic disciples, a lifetime of works that we can go to that are already prepared by the Lord. We don't prepare them. He does. But we need to respond by being willing to go into those works. Our obligation is to go forth and do these works.
Right, like it says in the scriptures, go forth, we should walk in them. I mean, there's that action again of moving forward.
Yes.
Well, there were times, Peter, in Paul's life when he was uncertain about where to go. I mean, that happens to all of us. Talk to us about one of those times and then what happened, how God used it in a special way.
Right, so as Paul started his second missionary journey that we read about in Acts chapter 16, he had chosen Silas to go along with him. And they were committed to go on the second journey, but they hit a point of uncertainty in terms of God's guidance after they started out. At first, they tried to go back into Bithynia and into the Galatian region, and it says that they were not allowed to go there. They tried to go into Asia Minor at that point, and it said the Spirit forbade them. And there was a point of indecision, Leslie, in the midst of going. It wasn't all easy for them. But then the Lord directed them to go towards Macedonia, and that's where they knew that God was indeed leading them. This eventually led them to Philippi and to the first convert in Europe. As St. Paul practiced, he would have gone to the synagogue first. But however, there was no synagogue at that time in Philippi. But as a result, he went outside the city to a river there where the Jews would have gathered for prayer by that river. And this was where he encountered some women, interestingly enough, including Lydia, who was a prominent woman, the scripture tells us, who sold purple goods.
Why don't you read us about the conversion of Lydia, who was the first convert in Europe? Because in the midst of this uncertainty, Paul was still willing to go, and God used him in a powerful way.
Yes, so the scripture says in Acts, it says, setting sail, therefore, from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and then following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to give heed to what was said by Paul. That's powerful. And when she was baptized with her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us.
Well, Peter, this was really one of the highlights of the trip for me, because we had the privilege of visiting the area where Lydia was converted and baptized with her whole household. And it was so special. It was so beautiful. And it was a very tranquil sight. I mean, the river was in the background and you could hear it bubbling over the rocks.
Right.
And after we visited a Greek Orthodox church, which was there on the grounds, we celebrated Mass by the river. And after Mass, the Lord really put in my heart to take off my shoes and wash my feet in the river where Lydia was baptized.
Amen.
The very first European convert.
Mm-hmm.
And my prayer was that the Lord would baptize our feet in these holy waters so that our feet would be willing to go and carry the good news of the gospel, just like Paul did.
And that the Lord would use our feet to carry us to where he's ordained. And Leslie, everybody, there was a sense of awe around that place. And when you left there, you knew, we knew that we had been on holy ground, and everybody was just quietly meditating that we had been in a special place.
Okay, Peter, will you please pray for our listeners today that they would hear the call to go like we've been talking about?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name with lots of thanksgiving today. We pray, just as you inspired St. Paul and his team and all our brothers and sisters in the early church, in the early times of Christianity, that you would renew a vision and power and graces to go to the places that you've prepared beforehand for each of us to enter as individuals, families, and local parishes. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, thank you so much, listeners, for joining us today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And make sure to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.